Hello and welcome back to my FPL channel. I'm FPL DUnit and today you're here with my voice. Hopefully is going to last the entire distance through this video. But you're here for team selection for game week 27, final decisions, AM manager chip review and thoughts on when I figure that chip. And also top transfer tips for the players that have been most transferred in and out. And hopefully a look at what my team is. Also covering what was an amazing week for me. So, if you've still got me here, please like the video. Please subscribe if you're new. The next goal is to make 700 subs. We crashed through the 600 on the weekend. So thank you to everyone who's got involved. And I will be back at 4 p.m. UK time today for a deadline day stream. And it's actually midnight Australian Western time. So I hope that everyone can appreciate the time and effort I'm going in, especially when I'm working during the week as well. And now let's just dive straight into it. So, what better place to start with than the assistant manager chip? Now, unlike a lot of other content creators that don't like the chip, and I can tell you why they don't like the chip, because their massive swing in points that was on offer. So, I just want to take you through what happened, right? So, some people banging on about the slot bandwagon. And I was never on the slot bandwagon. I was never on the Arteta bandwagon. It didn't even come across my line of thinking once, because the entire time I said the chip was designed to have fun. It is all about table bonus. And I just want to have a little reflection on what we learned from these 3 weeks. So if you were clever and you did the Moyes to Emery to then Glasner play, like I did, like I championed all the way along, playing for table bonus every single week. By the way, it only cost you 0.5 million for the manager in the first week. Then it went up to 0.8. Yes, you had to use two transfers, but I would argue that two transfers, when the amount of points you got for those transfers, makes that transfer worthwhile. Like some people basically saying it wasn't worth transferring Slot or Emery this week. Well, no, it did make sense. Getting 20 points compared to getting 10 is a very big difference. I think that's definitely worth one transfer. I'm not sure why anyone would argue that it's not. Like, it just is. It's a fact. Like, it's definitely worth the transfer. Makes no sense why people went the other way. So, on comparison, if you just stayed with Slot the entire time, you got 38 points. If you played it safe with Slot, and then you moved to Arteta, that's what you got. 28 points from the chip compared to 56 from Glasner. FYI, that's double the amount of points. That's why these other content creators don't like the chip. As I said, the only thing I do not like about the chip is that Slot should have been docked 3 points for getting himself sent off. And that means he should have missed the next game and you would have been forced to move him or cop a 0 points. That's the only thing I would like to see that's different. And I would also like to see introduced and have to be played before game week 10. Because a lot of chips aren't played in the first half of the season unless there's people trying to get to the top and lead the whole thing early doors. But for me, that's what I would like to see. That should be the conditions next year. Make it so it has to be played in the first 10 weeks and make it that I love the table bonus. Keep that intact. Just make sure managers lose points for getting booked. And they miss matches as well, like players. That's the only criticism I have of the chip. Everything else I think is brilliant. I really hope they bring it back next year. And every other content creator and any other fool that listened to any other content creator that went, let's go Slot, let's go Arteta, there's the stats. Table bonus is king. That's all I'll say about it. Thanks for coming. If you didn't already watch that and you didn't already know that, you should have listened. That's the D-Units verdict on the assistant manager chip, and I'm very happy with my 56 points. So, onto the game week 27 top transfer players in and out. So, I'm going to quickly go through this because I don't want this video to be long and I honestly do not know how long my voice has gotten. I want to be on the stream later on today. So, Cunha and Mbeumo, good transfers in. Do not mind them at all. Jared Bowen, I'm actually surprised is not higher than this list. I thought that he would be at the top. I think for his price, what he offers, the fact he's on penalties, Paqueta's out of the team, it's all on Jared Bowen, and West Ham's fixture run, like Wolves, really opens up. So I'm surprised he's not been bought in by more people. He's definitely one of the ones I'm keen to watch. But unfortunately, I don't need to move a midfielder. It will be a luxury move. I've got three transfers between now and game week 29, and I have to move at least one of my goalkeepers out and one of Trent and Hall out of my team. We'll get to that a little bit later on. So for me, that's the luxury one. So I either do the luxury one this week, bring in Jared Bowen. I'm just not sure. But like, I really like him, and it's definitely someone I would like to go to on wildcard. I just hope his price doesn't rise. Munoz, Asensio, Rashford, all great players. If it wasn't for game week 29, I'd say all great buys. But they're not. They're not a good buy. If you are not free hitting in game week 29, these are bad purchases because you're going to have to sell them again or they're going to blank in your team in 2 weeks' time and you're points chasing. Like, you're legit, you are points chasing if you're going for these players. It makes no sense to me at all. The Beto transfer, I really like. I've been preaching him for a while. He's been in the differentials videos the last couple of weeks. He does look amazing. I watched firsthand. He basically was ragdolling Harry Maguire like most of that game against Man United. So there you go. Matoma, great buy. He's now up to 43 points in the last 6 weeks. That man is on fire. He's having a Phil Foden 6 weeks. Like, I don't know if you're going to miss out, but I feel like his next couple of fixtures are still fairly decent. Marmoush, I'm not sure if this is the time to go there. If Haaland is out longer term, Marmoush looks amazing. It's going to make everyone's teams post 29 really interesting as well, particularly if Haaland is not fit. Kluivert, still a pretty good transfer in. Bournemouth were just unlucky they got sent down to 10 men. Palmer, not surprised he's on this list because all those people sold him. Ironically, he's also the fourth most transferred out player. Why you would sell him before Southampton at home and Leicester at home boggles my brain. I actually can't understand that. If somehow someone's got an oracle and they know that Palmer's going to blank the next 2 weeks against these two teams, they should just sit there and they'll probably win FPL because there's no way that you're selling Palmer before these two games. Bruno Fernandes, great buy. Ipswich at home, off the back of a 10-pointer. He's back into my starting lineup this week. There's a little tease for later on. Isak, again, people points chasing. Maybe they're just getting rid of Watkins because Watkins blanked and they're just playing mismatch. Again, he blanks in 29. It's not a good transfer. Trent Alexander-Arnold, ditto, not a good transfer. Should be transferring him out. I'm surprised he's not on the out column this week. Wissa, he was good. He finally delivered. He needs to back it up against Everton. Mateta, again, why are people buying these players when they're about to blank? It makes no sense. Chris Wood is inevitable. He is inevitable. With Chris the Woody Woodpecker, you just know that it's inevitable he's going to get you some wood. Even they've got Arsenal and then Man City. I think Wood's probably going to return in one of those two games. Not sure which one, and he'll probably blank in the other. Cucurella, I understand they're playing Southampton, but Chelsea just find a way conceding goals. Wan-Bissaka, I really like the look of, and it's definitely someone that I can, combined with Ait Nouri, who somehow isn't on this list, he's definitely someone I'm thinking about. And Flecken's in there as well. Obviously kept a couple of clean sheets back-to-back. I wouldn't expect that to continue. In terms of the outs, it's Rodgers and Ahmad. Rodgers, the top transferred out player. Obviously, people getting ready for blank game week 29. Ahmad, he's gone for the season. Makes sense. A lot of people still somehow own him. 9% still own him. Gakpo, again, blanks in 29. Infuriated owners by coming on for 1 point. That's enough. That's probably the final straw. See you later. Cole Palmer, as I said, don't understand. Gordon, I understand. Kluivert, I don't know why people are selling him. Like, what are you selling him for? To move where? Aina Wood, I understand why you're getting rid of him. Tough fixtures for Forest. They conceded 4, but they did score 3. It was a weird game. Christa Woody Woodpecker, I wouldn't be selling him. I just hold for Ipswich. He'll deliver. He's inevitable. Isak, again, I would be selling on 29. I wouldn't be selling before then. Haaland, understand. I still can't believe his ownership's that high. And Dai, again, injured, so no good. Watkins, the flood of transfers out for him is probably starting now. Probably needs to happen, realistically. He's blanking in 29. Luis Diaz, ditto. Hall, ditto. Phil Foden, I'm going to talk about him probably next week when we've got a bit of time between the next deadline. But Marmoush coming into the team has led to a massive drop-off in expected goal involvement for Phil Foden. Now, I have to do a little bit more digging, but it's definitely something I've noticed from the numbers and definitely something I've noticed when I've watched City play as well. Phil Foden doesn't have the same role as he did during that hot streak, which is problematic, potentially, if you want to go back there. Pedro Porro, I mean, yeah, Tottenham just concede goals. Gabriel makes sense. Tougher run of fixtures. I don't think there's going to be a lot of clean sheets. Plus, Saka's not there, which means his threat from corners drastically dives off because Saka's delivery's not there. Raul, yeah, he's all right. Jimenez and Nicholas Jackson, Sanchez and Nicholas Jackson. Obviously, Sanchez is getting sold because he's no longer the starting goalkeeper, but I'm telling you, Jorgensen wasn't that much better, so it might not be that long till we see Sanchez back in goal. You never know. So, onto the four table bonus managers this week and the ranked order that I have them in. So, Glasner versus Aston Villa is definitely still the best one. Even though they're at home this week and Palace play much poorer at home, I saw enough in the Palace games of late to make me think that they can do Villa. Like Villa, as I said, Villa have that kind of game in them against the lower ranked teams where they just do some weird stuff. Pereira versus Fulham is a great shout as well, but Fulham do travel much better away from home. They're like Crystal Palace, much better away from home than at home. I think Wolves are going to be in for a bit of a shock here. I think Fulham will probably win. Postecoglou versus Man City. This is a really open one. That's why it's number three, because you never know what Spurs is going to show up. And this season, you don't know what City is going to show up. It could be a game that finishes 4-4. It could be a game that finishes 4-0 to one team or 4-0 to the other. Or it could be really close. I really don't know which way it's going to go, which is why he's third. And Juric versus Chelsea. Chelsea are an absolute funk at the moment. If they don't get out of it, then maybe Southampton can get something. But you'd be a really gambling man if you thought that Juric was going to get here. So, yeah, that's my take on the assistant managers for anyone that's got the chip active this week. So, on to my final plugs at 27. Chasing table bonus, as I said last week, is king. And if you are still on the assistant manager chip, Glasner is my favourite. Postecoglou and Pereira are also nice too. I wouldn't be going anywhere near Juric. Benching headaches, again, across the forward eight this week are extremely tough. And we'll see my team again. I left a lot of points on the bench last week, and yet I still got inside. We'll talk about my rank in a second, but I had a massively good week, but I left a lot of points on the bench, which is highly frustrating. Best defenders to buy this week, it's 8, Nouri number 1, Kirk has 2, Hoytson 3, Tarwoski 4, Wan-Bissaka in at 5, Mikalenko 6. Best midfielders to buy, it is Bruno Fernandes this week for me. I think he is the best midfielder to buy. Matoma comes in at number 2, Bowen in at number 3, Kluivert at number 4, and Nkunku at number 5, and Mbeumo at number 6, Semenyo at number 7, Damsgaard. He was another good hauler last week. And at number 8, Trossard at number 9, and Enzo at number 10. The best forwards to buy, it's definitely Cunha now in the first spot. Wisser at number 2, Beto at number 3, Marmoush at number 4, Mateta at number 5, if you're free hitting, otherwise he wouldn't be on there, and Raul at number 6. So, on to my team and how it went in game week 27. So, as you can see there, I cracked the triple figure mark for the second time in 3 weeks. Last week, I was very unlucky. Again, I was unaided by it. Actually, last week was one of the very few weeks where I've left no points on my bench. So the top scorer in our league this week, shout out to Rahi, achy breaky heart, 121 points, massive score, really good. Green arrow. It was green arrows all round in every league except my own league, which was a red arrow, can you believe? But I went from 17,330 up to 6,686. So it's my second highest rank of the season. Obviously, no more assistant manager points to come this week, which is going to make it slightly difficult if people played it straight after they played triple captain on Salah. Obviously, I've still got all my other chips to play, triple captain, free hit, wild card, etc., etc. So I'm pretty happy with the way things are looking. I think it's going to be pretty good moving forward. So let's just recap how the game week went down. So Becker and Trent Alexander-Arnold and Mo Salah brought it home in the last game for me. 8 points from Becker with one bonus and a save point. Amazing. Trent, obviously, another plain six-pointer, but we'll take it. No goals conceded against Man City away from home. It's really nice. And Mo Salah, he's about as inevitable as Chris Wood at the moment. Just continues to score. Gets a goal, gets an assist, gets his 3 bonus and the clean sheet. 14 points. Thanks for coming. The rest of the defence, unfortunately, is where I got it wrong. So Bournemouth going down 10 men early, Kirkes getting booked, and then them conceding 1 goal and losing to Wolves was not an ideal scenario. Especially when you look at my bench and there's Hall there sitting on 9 points with a pair of assists in that 4-3 wild game against Forest. And then Milinkovic with a yellow card concedes 4 goals, but scores a goal with 5 points sitting on my bench. So in reality, if I'd somehow got the benching right, and there's no way I would have played either of them over Kirkes, I did consider playing Hall in front of Robinson. And maybe that's why they left the deadline open so I could have made the move, but I didn't. So alas, Hall was on my bench. In reality, that's 8 points I missed out on there. That would have been on 116. The other move I was thinking of doing in the midfield was starting Bruno Fernandes instead of Cole Palmer. I chickened out of it because Palmer's ownership's through the roof. Fernandes is not. But that's another 8 points I missed out on. So that would have been 16 points. I would have been on 124 if I'd made those moves. I would have definitely have left Milinkovic on the bench, so I'm not even worried about that one. The other two, though, where it was line ball calls, I just got wrong. And it happens. Honestly, it happens. So, obviously, Cole Palmer, the two. Mo Salah, as I said before, 14. And Mbeumo finally delivered. The two Brentford boys finally paid off. 14 points there from Mbeumo. 8 from Wissa. 22 after Friday night football. I was loving it. Ruud van Nistelrooy with nothing. That's unfortunate. I felt sorry for him. Clivert, obviously, it was just one of them games. 2 points. It just didn't help that they were down to 10 men. Like, it did not help that they were down to 10 men at all. And then up front, Chris the Woody Woodpecker, the inevitable Wood, just gets an assist, casual assist. Thanks for coming in a game that was wild. I mean, I thought Chris Wood would probably score, but he didn't with the way the game was going. Whistle, obviously, with 8. And then Isak with a pair of goals, 13 points back in the game. All those people that sold Isak to Watkins last week and probably kept Watkins this week, the swing back the other way pretty much reversed itself. So Watkins with that 15 points last week compared to Isak's 2. This week it's Watkins 2 against Isak 13. So not much in it. And then obviously, yeah, as I said, 24 points on the bench. And then Oliver Glasner, 20 points, 2 goals scored, a clean sheet, table bonus. Thanks for coming, 108 points all out. Game week 27, as I said, that new rank, it back inside the top 10K. I'm very happy with the way things are going. The aim at the start of the season was to be top 100K because I've never been top 100. And at the moment, we're on track for at least 5 numbers instead of 6. So that's really good. I'm quite happy with that. And hopefully it continues moving forward. So onto my potential transfers for this week. Now, I would really love to get Bowen in. But realistically, I don't have to move a midfielder because I'm keeping Mo Salah. And there's no other midfielder that needs moving that doesn't have a fixture before 29. So it's between Hall and Alexander-Arnold. I've got more value tied up in Hall. So Hall's at 5 million at the moment, and I bought him at 4.4. Trent's at 7.4, but I bought Trent at 7.2. So I'd only lose 0.1 if I sold Trent, like in terms of my value. But I'd lose 0.3 if I sold my value in Hall. Now, I really like Ait Nouri, but this could easily be Wan-Bissaka as well. Ait Nouri before has done me dirty this season when I owned him, and he didn't really do much while I owned him. But I am concerned that that run of fixtures coming up looks really good. The only thing I would say is that the Fulham game is not going to be an easy game. I expect Fulham to score, which is why potentially at this moment in time I haven't made any transfers, and it might be the way I roll. And then I'll address it at the start of game week 29, and I'll just get Hall or Trent out at that week for one of these defenders, Wan-Bissaka or Ait Nouri, and then I'll roll from there. But yeah, that's definitely my plan. The other move is I could move my goalkeeper this week. I could go Fabianski to Areola and be done with it. So I know there's a couple of different options. They both make a lot of sense, but moving forward, this is definitely a move that's going to happen. Trent is 100% leaving my team, either before the start of game week 29 or on wildcard. It's going to be one or the other. So, onto the benching decisions this week, and it is between 3 players and my forward 8. Now, I don't like the fact that all these guys are on penalties, and they all seem like they're pretty inevitable at the moment. Like, Chris Wood always gets something at the moment, and every time I bench him, this man gets Wood on my bench. It's like he hates being benched, and he deliberately gets Wood, because benches are made out of wood. I don't know. So I don't know if I can bring myself to do it. In theory, at the moment, we'll see who I'm actually starting on my bench. But I suppose it's going to be a little bit controversial considering what he did against this team the first time around. But it is away from home. And the other thing is that Clivert and Isak both have away fixtures. So I feel like that's going to be worse for them. I'm not sure. I just feel like this is a really difficult decision. Let me know in the comments who you would bench out of these 3 players, please. Clivert, Wood, Isak. Or is there someone else on my team you'd bench instead, like in that forward 8? But I don't think there is when we look at it. So onto my benching ratings for this week. Defenders, it's Kirkez, Hodgson, Collins, Munoz, Robinson. Arsenal defenders then come in Mikalenko, Aina, Hall, Milenkovic, Castagna, Guavi or Williams. If you've got any Liverpool defenders, I'd be playing them, like, at the top. They're not on here because I just assume everyone's going to play them. You've spent up that much money for them, you're going to play them. In terms of midfielders, it's Mbeumo, Matoma, Bruno Fernandes, Bowen, Nkunku, Enzo, Bournemouth mids, Son, Eze, Diaz, Trossard, Wanyeri, Gibbs White, in that order. If your player is not there and they play for one of those teams, just go where I pretty much rank that other person. That's where I'd probably play them. In terms of forwards, it's Wissa, it's then Cunha, Haaland, Marmoush. I mean, if either of them are fit, if Haaland's fit, he's playing Tottenham, they can see goals. I know they got spanked 4-0 the first time round. They're going to score against Tottenham for sure. Beto then comes in next. He's in such a hot rain of form. It's then Watkins, Mateta, Delap, Welbeck. Wood is way down, but he is in front of Isak for me. I think they're just towards the bottom of this list this week. There's so many better options against better teams. Then it's Raul, then it's Gakpo. So for me, yeah, that's pretty much the bench ratings. Let me know if you think I'm wrong. Is there anyone else in there that you want to know whether you should be starting or not? Make sure you bring your questions to the deadline stream there. So onto my team selection for game week 27. So this week we have Alisson Becker and Trent Alexander-Arnold going up again with a double Liverpool defence. Now, I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know how I felt about it last week. I'm literally going with the exact same defence I did in game week 26. I'm just hoping it goes better for me in game week 27. I feel like Robinson and Kirkez have better fixtures compared to Hall and Milinkovic. And I'm expecting Hall and Milinkovic both to concede. I can see potentially clean sheets for either Kirkez or Robinson. I just feel like there's more. That was exactly the same line of thinking last week. I'm just hoping this week it goes a little bit better, because in reality it didn't. Like, Fabianski obviously has Leicester at home. Don't know why it says Leicester at E. Maybe I got a bit excited. Maybe it's because it's like he's an emergency player, you pull out, break glass kind of moment. But reality, he's not going to be playing. I think that's quite evident at the moment that Areola's the first choice, and I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. I'm playing a midfield five this week at the moment, as things stand. So Bruno Fernandes comes back into the team. Annoying that he left that 10 points on the bench for me last week, but he's got Ipswich at home, and this is the weeks I held him for. Ipswich at home and then Leicester away in 29. I might even play him next week, depending on how this week goes, how Man United potentially look. Arsenal obviously have the Champions League to worry about as well, so potentially their minds could be elsewhere. I'm not sure. So, but yeah, I think that's definitely something to keep in mind. So Bruno Fernandes, I'm very happy to have him back. All five midfielders are on penalties, which is also incredible for the team. Clivert obviously there. He's got Brighton and Hove away. I mean, I could easily bench him instead and he could be first sub and I play my three forwards, but we'll see what I've done there in the forward line at the moment. And Boehm obviously has Everton at home, back in form. I'm expecting big things here. I expect Everton to concede, which means the Brentford boys are definitely going to be back on again, I think, this week. Then we got Mo Salah, captain. I don't think you can go past him at the moment. The dude is inevitable. He just keeps on churning out plus 10-point hauls every single week, it feels like. He's on track for he's on track to break his own record. If he doesn't win the Ballon d'Or this year, there's some sort of corruption going on at FIFA or whatever you want to call it, because this dude has been unbelievably good. I think he's up to like 40 goals and assists combined already. That's just insane. And we've only just hit the end of game week 26. There's another 12 weeks to go. Cole Palmer, obviously, he's the vice captain. He's got Southampton at home. Look, everyone's probably sitting there going, why are you not captaining Palmer? Well, the dude hasn't been in form. Chelsea don't look like they're playing great. Yes, they're playing Southampton. I just think that trying to say that Palmer's going to go bigger than Salah this week just seems like a bit of a stretch to me. When I crunch the numbers and just the actual form and what Chelsea are producing on the field, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Then up front, I've actually gone with Chris Wood at home against Arsenal and Wissa at home against Everton. I'm literally playing the fact that they're at home and that Newcastle generally seem to play poorer away from home, particularly in the Premier League. And I feel like Newcastle might lose this game to nil, which is why I'm backing in the double Liverpool defence. So for that reason, if I believe that that's a genuine chance, I've got to bench Isak. Like, that's my line of thinking behind it. Let me know if I'm an idiot and I've got it wrong in the comments. I know he did super well against them last time with that goal and assist. I think it was like 11 points, 12 points, whatever it was. It was a really good performance. But at the moment, that's the way I'm going. I'm pretty happy with the way the team looks, to be fair, which is why I haven't actually made a transfer at the moment. And then in game week 28, it looks really good as well. So, yeah, lots of things to think about. But I'm pretty happy at the moment with the way the team's shaping up for game week 27. So, on to the deadline day decisions for game week 27. So, you do need to be aware of blank game week 29. I know it's coming up, and I know at the start of this video, I showed you so many people transferring assets that are going to blank in game week 29. Now, if you're free hitting, fantastic, happy days. You just sit there, you play whatever, and you bring whatever players you want in. It ain't going to matter. You can just free hit, right? Doesn't matter how many you got blanking. But if you're not, you've got to use your transfers wisely. And for that reason, you can't be buying Liverpool, Aston Villa, Crystal Palace, and Newcastle players. In theory, you just need to start moving them out. Like moving them out. Unfortunately, the problem is that Newcastle, Palace, and Liverpool all have amazing fixtures in game week 28, which means moving them out before 29 is hard. So you're better off just rolling the transfers and getting rid of them all in one hit. That's my plan at the moment. So last week it was Bournemouth and Wolves assets. This week it's West Ham and Wolves assets. So over the next few weeks, two teams of amazing fixtures from this week and beyond are Wolves and West Ham. I would recommend a total of four assets from them. Like, I'm actively thinking that I want one Bissaka and Bowen and eight Nori and Cunha. Like, I just feel like they're going to be great assets in my team. Realistically, I want to do Wissa to Cunha. I think potentially maybe Mbeumo to Bowen, like on wildcard, and then one Bissaka and eight Nori into that defence. Milinkovic has got amazing fixtures from game week 29 onwards, so I think it's probably likely to be Robinson for one of them, and then the other one's going to be Trent for the other. And I'm going to probably keep Alisson Becker. I think that's the plan moving forward. I want to get off my triple Liverpool, especially with the fact there's going to be no more doubles for them moving forward. Now, the assistant manager, table bonus, or do you keep it safe? The arguments for playing safe are null and void after the slot Arteta debacle. Chasing table bonus is king of fun. As I showed at the very beginning of this video, you can't deny that if you get it wrong and you play it safe, you've got no upside. If you play it risky, you can get lucky. Or it's not even luck. It's just actually reading the fixtures and realizing there's a strong chance of a draw or a win, and that means bulk points. I think it just makes no sense if you don't do it that way. Glasner looks the most realistic choice again, but good feelings about Pereira and Postecoglou, as I said earlier. And captaincy decisions. Do you go against the Salah, or do you gamble on Palmer at home? Or do you even go to a Bruno Fernandes, who's got a very nice fixture at home? I'm not 100% sure, but those are the questions we're going to be coming up with. And that's what we'll answer on the deadline day stream as well. Now, I will be doing a free hit / wildcard draft for this game week in the deadline day stream, only because of the fact that I haven't had time with the 2 days between the last round of fixtures and these ones in order to actually do a video with any updated chip strategy or whatever. So I'll cover that all in the deadline day stream. Yep. So to recap, deadline day stream is today, 4 p.m. Don't sleep on the deadline. It is obviously a midweek deadline. We're not used to these, but there's been quite a few, and there are going to be a few more to come as well. So make sure you're across it. And hopefully I'll have all the press conference updates. I'll go through that on the stream and everything. And if you've enjoyed this video, if you liked the content, please leave us a like on the video and please subscribe if you haven't already done so. Thanks for watching. That's been the D Unit with his Game Week 27 team selection.